Well, I'm Irv. I'm a child of Christ. I'm a child of the one true King. I've been saved. I've been changed. I've been set free. And I am no longer defined by the wreckage behind. Right. I took that from a song when we had our Freedom Recovery Group. And that's what I like to introduce myself to in the recovery group, whether I go to an AA group or NA group, because I am a believer in Jesus. And I want them to know and that doorknob didn't give me the strength and the power. It was Jesus Christ. I give Him all the glory, the honor, the praise for what He's done and where I'm at today in my life. But I'll give you just a little bit of background. I come from a Methodist background, my mom and dad, when I was younger. And they got into the Jehovah's Witness. And from that point, I fell away from the Lord because of the pressure that we were put under. Underneath that church and stuff, and it was, I didn't realize at that time it was a false church, and I fell away from the Lord. I kind of went out into the world at that point. When I graduated from high school, I got married, and I was married for 16 years, but with the marriage was falling apart. Didn't have Christ in my life, so I chose to go the way of the world, and I was unfaithful in my marriage, and I didn't really understand what the sexual addiction was going on in my life at that time, and I got involved in meth. And when I was younger, God revealed it to me later, but I was molested when I was a young child, and so that kind of catapulted like domino effect as I was growing up. I had my mom and dad are great parents, the best parents you can ever have. They're still with me today, and they support me very well. And there was a point in my life where they cut all ties because of what I was doing, and I respect them for that, and I'm very thankful that they did that. But in my addiction, I got pretty heavily involved in meth, and I worked in the grocery business for almost 20 years, and then toward the tail end of the 20 years, when the marriage was falling apart, I got more into the meth, and it became more important than anything else in my life. So I ended up, because of that, getting divorced, and chose the road of destruction. And chose meth over everything else. I got to the point where I lost my job because I couldn't get to work on time, and it takes completely control of you. And when I was out of work, I had to figure out some other way to support my habit. So a good friend of mine taught me how to make it. So that became more of an addiction of making it than using. And so I spent all my time with that. In the process, I met my wife that I have today in that world. And what I put the kids through, because she had three, I had my son, and we got to the point where there was no power in the house, no water. We lived in the city, and I hooked up the water illegally so we'd have water. I disconnected in the morning, got caught doing that, got put on probation with the city, a big fine and everything, and bought a generator instead of just getting a job and going to work. Well, that's because of the drugs. I got a generator for power, and the kids, what I put the kids in my wife now through and stuff, you don't think about it. You don't care. It's all about the drugs. And, what they had to go through in school, here they're having to take, to be raised in a house like that. But I didn't care. I'd go off and leave my wife for, at that time, I'd leave her for 3 days at a time. She'd ask me to go get her a pack of cigarettes. Well, but he'd say, well, let's go do this. So off I'd go tweaking. And I'd be back 3 days later, didn't care about the kids, food, nothing. I just left. and then I'd show back up and all would be good. And as I progressed in the manufacturing of it, I also progressed in the use of it and the taking it by smoking it and snorting it, it wasn't enough. I got the last couple of months before I got arrested, I got to the point where I was using a needle and injecting it to get that high because you can't, you're trying to chase that first high that you got. And so I went that route. And I kept crying out, here I thought I knew God, but I had no relationship with him. I carried a cross in my truck thinking that that would keep me protected from getting arrested, and how stupid thinking that was. But I was crying out then, you know, for help, but I couldn't. And the Lord in the background was helping me. I just didn't realize at the time. But one time I was up in the attic in the garage, and I was hiring a kite, tweaking up there, looking for parts for my truck. And the generator was downstairs in the garage running. No ventilation. You don't think about it. You know, you're just having a good time up there. And I had my flashlight, and I was thinking, boy, if this flashlight battery dies, I better get downstairs quick because the fumes upstairs. And guess what? The flashlight went dead. And I'm trying to get the batteries out and change them and stuff. And I had just this aisle maybe this wide. And I'm trying to find my way back down because I started getting disoriented. It started affecting me and I could feel it. I woke, that was somewhere 5 o'clock in the morning. Anyway, I had passed out and didn't know it. I woke up at the bottom of the stairs. And I was upside down with my feet pointing up, and the generator had run out of gas. Well, that was Jesus, because he wasn't done with me. He had a purpose for me, and that's why I'm standing here in front of you and talking to you today. And I didn't realize that then. But, you know, I thank the Lord that I didn't go at that point, because I wasn't saved. It wouldn't have been a good spot for me to go at that time. But Jesus had better plans for me. And so as I kept being out there, knowing that you know, I'm taking a chance of I could get arrested at any time, I got pulled over in Shelton one night because my license was suspended because of non-child support payment. Imagine that. Don't want to pay child support because you've got to have the money for the drugs. And they searched my car, but my dog was in the back with the canopy locked, so they couldn't get in, and my dog wouldn't let them in. So I got saved there from getting arrested then. And then one rainy Saturday, or it was a Friday night into Saturday morning, I was out in the woods trying to get some made up, and it was time. We knew that we needed to be out of the woods by daylight, because take a chance of being caught. And once you get involved in that, your time is, you don't worry about time. You just got to get more drugs. And it was about 10 o'clock in the morning. The rain had stopped, the sun came out, and so did the sheriff's department and the task force. We were getting ready to bury stuff, and they came out with rifles, and they just yelled, "Hit the ground or we're going to shoot." And I'm just like, oh, no, this is it. I'm done. And the humiliation that happened after that was, I can't do this anymore. And they handcuffed me. They had me hang on to my dog so he wouldn't get shot. They marched us out by the road. Coquitlam Road is where I was at out there. And they stripped us down naked. Cars were going by, but, you know, they don't care. That's what you're doing. Because they were, you know, had fear for their life. They had to wash us down with the fire hose they had a big tanker truck out there. Cold water out of the fire truck, they hosed us down with. And I could barely stand up. I was so cold and hurting and trying to hold on to my dog and stuff. So at that point, I'd lost everything, my truck, everything in it. Everything in storage was gone. I had nothing, not even the clothes on my back. And I went to jail that day, October 18th, 2003. And that's the next day, That was on a Saturday morning. The next day, I went to church, and Bill Willard was given a church service. And so I thought, well, I'll try this God thing. I'll go to church, and maybe that'll help me in court. That was my stinking thinking was still going on then, because I still wasn't completely clean yet, still in my body. But so I went to church, and he said the sinner's prayer when he got done with his message, and asked if there's anybody here that'd like to be saved to repeat this after me. This has got to change. So I accepted Jesus into my heart that Sunday morning. And then I picked up the Bible and I started reading it back in my cell. And though the thinking was still, if I do this, read this Bible and stuff, it'll look good in court. So maybe they'll give me leniency and I won't go to prison. And of course that didn't happen. But so Tuesday morning, I was laying there in my bunk, and there was a call over the speaker that said, anybody wants to go to Celebrate Recovery to be at the door? And I thought, Celebrate Recovery, it's a recovery program, Christ-centered. I'll give that a shot too. And so I went in there, and I kind of sat back in the corner of the room, kind of where Robin and Lauren are sitting there, and I got this big old grin on my face and stuff, and there, that's when I met Robin and Lauren in Freedom. It was Celebrate Recovery, which turned to Freedom Recovery after a bit. But I can remember Lauren pointing me out, saying, "How can you have a smile like that in a place like this?" You know, and but. Little did I know, but Jesus was coming out in me more and more. So I was there every Tuesday when they were there. And they've been such a blessing in my life that God put in my life. I can't give enough thanks to Him. And then I kept praying, kept reading the Bible. I read the Bible three times through the whole time I was in, but I just kept praying to the Lord that His will would be done, first of all, and that maybe I could stay in Shelton so I'd be close to my family and stuff. But that didn't happen. When I was out at the correction center, I was hoping for Large Mountain, and if that'd be close enough where my family could still come and see me. And that didn't happen. And I said, Lord, I know that this isn't where you want me to be, so I'm a willing vessel, so wherever it is that you send me, that's where I'll go. And in the meantime, while I was at the correction center, Robin was able to come out, and he had visitation out there, so he'd come out once a week and see me. And so while I was there, with the Celebrate Recovery program and the closeness that I was getting at that time, getting more and more with the Lord, I was on fire, and still am on fire. But you know that first baby fire for the Lord. And Robin gave me a Life Recovery Bible from Celebrate Recovery, and it was easy to understand. The footnotes in it went right with your recovery. And so I had, when I went to services on Sunday out there at the correction center, the guys are like, "Where'd you get that Bible?" And I says, "I got it from my pastor." I said, "I can't understand the James King version." And I said, "This is easy to understand, and you'd just be amazed, and it goes with your recovery." And they go, "Well, can you get me one of those?" And I says, "Well, let me find out." So when Robin would come each week, I'd have a list of 6-7 guys. I'd have their DOC numbers. Wow. And that's how God used me while I was there to get Bibles out. And it was just awesome. And also when I was at the jail waiting, there was a young man there. I was trying to remember his name, but I think it was Scott. And we talked about the Lord and stuff then. And he really didn't know if he believed in God, but he was just kind of undecided and stuff. And then he moved to another place, and then I moved out to the correction center. Well, when I told God that, you know, wherever you need me to go, I will go, and it was at Coyote Ridge, clear on the other side of the mountains, where no family could come see me. And I thought, well, I'm okay with that. You know, God's put me in a place where He needs me to be by myself so I can get as close to Him as possible, so that way when I get out, that He'll give me, I'll have the strength in Jesus and I won't fall back and go backwards. Because so many, when they get out, they go right back to what they were doing. So I was thankful for being where God put me at. Well, while I was there, my best friend that taught me how to manufacture, he was there also. And he had accepted Jesus in his heart. And so we went to church together and stuff. And so I had somebody there that I knew. And to this day, he's my best friend. And he was my best man in my wedding, too. And so I got involved in the church there. And lo and behold, when I walked into the church, what did we have? We had Celebrate Recovery. So I was worried about losing that part of the program until I got back out with Robin and Lauren. But God put me in a place where they had the program. So it was awesome. And so I got to be a big help in that with other inmates and stuff that were there also. And then one Friday night, we had volunteers that came in. They would come in and preach, and just volunteers that come in to help with Celebrate Recovery. And Debbie and Gib Richardson, they live here in Shelton, and they're part of our Crazy Love ministry too. But I knew Gib from playing darts when I used to be hanging out in the bars and drinking and playing darts in the taverns. And here they come walking in. I go, Gib? And they go, Irv, what are you doing? I go, oh, well, you know, I messed up. And I'm, you know, I'm a believer in Jesus, but there's consequences, and I'm taking care of the consequences right now. And so they were able to get a message back to my son that I'm doing fine and everything. And it was just a blessing that God puts people in your path when you're on that journey to keep your spirits up and just help you along the way. And everywhere I went, it was always a Christian brother or even my counselor that I had at Coyote Ridge was a Christian brother. Amen. It was just amazing. Amen. And the fear of being in the prison because of the child molestation that I had when I was younger, I was being in a men's prison. I had that fear, but I just prayed to the Lord that He would take that away. And I never slept with my back to the wall very much, so. But He took that away, so I didn't have that fear in there. And I did 20 months altogether. I had a 5-year sentence, and then the other half was out on probation. Why was in the county jail? This Robin, he likes this little story. But when you pray, you don't worry about, well, I wonder if God will give me this. You just pray. You ask for anything and everything, because if it's God's will, He'll grant it to you. So don't be afraid to ask. And so we always had chicken on the bone, and they're like always little portions and stuff. And I was like really extra hungry because you know you got time span in between when you get fed, and so. I said, Lord, I says, could you give me a big piece of chicken? And when I got served, it was monster. They were just like, how did you get such a big piece? And I said, I just prayed to God. You should try it. And it was pretty awesome. And so I just kept praying about anything and everything. While I was there at Coyote Ridge, I got to go into college courses. I did building maintenance, so I call it, when I'm talking about it at home and stuff, when I don't call it being in prison. I always say when I was in college, because I got 18 college credits for building maintenance. All right. And I kept busy between the ministry work and the school work. My time went really quick. Took typing class at that time. I don't even know if they have typing classes anymore, but I took a typing class in a computer basics. And that's what it was computer basics. And just did everything I can. I worked in the kitchen. I cooked for 600 guys. I'd get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I would prepare scrambled eggs, pancakes, French toast, and I was the king at whipping up eggs. That you couldn't stop the line, or you'd get a fraction if you stopped the line. You had to keep that line moving, so you had to keep those eggs going and stuff. But I got paid 35 cents an hour. And I asked my parents. They said, "Well, we'll send you money." I says, "Nope, I do not want any money sent to me." I says, "I'll earn everything that I need, and God will provide for what I need while I'm in here." So nobody sent me anything, and I paid my child support. I paid, and it gave me just enough to get a few odds and ends, little extras to eat, stuff in between. But God provided for me while I was in there. Before I got out, I was asked to be released to Shelton, but it was at my wife's mom's place, and her sister had a boyfriend that was on DOC, and they seen him there when they went to check the place out, so they denied it. And I was like, I just wanted to be with my family. And I thought, no, God, you have a better place for me. You know where you want me to be. And so he released me to my mom and dad's in Tacoma. Before that, you gotta have to have a job when you get out. And a lifetime dream of mine was to be a truck driver. I've been raised in a truck when I was little. I always had that, can I do that? Could I actually drive a truck? You know, even though I've been in one, I wanted to do it. But in the back of my head, the enemy was like going, "You'll never drive a truck. Don't even think about it, you know. It's just a dream." Well, you know what? I went to the Lord in prayer. I said, "Lord," I says, "this has been a dream of mine. If this is what you want me to do for a career when I get out," I asked, "would you give me the strength and the knowledge and open up all the doors that I need to do this?" And before I got out, I had my license reinstated. I had everything to go. Even the funding, I got a Pell Grant that I didn't have to pay back that paid for the course. And I would have never been able to do it if I would have got released to Shelton. So God knew right where I needed to be. I was released to my mom and dad's. And my mom and dad forgave me for everything, because I was in their house that I was renting, where I was cooking meth and stuff. So I could have lost everything for them. So they forgive me, and I asked forgiveness, and part of the 12 steps. And the relationship that I have with my mom and dad is just, it's awesome today. And I was able to help my dad while I was there going through school. And then I said, "Just make me a list, Dad, everything you need." And I says, because he was teaching upholstery at the time, so I said, I'll take care of these things for you when I get home. So I did all the maintenance around the house and everything for him while I was there, so I was a big help for him. And then while I was at trucking school, I didn't know, you know, who's going to hire a felon. You know, I had a good clean driving record, but, you know, the fear of who's going to hire a felon, you know, to drive truck with no experience other than school. And I said, "Nope." I said, "I'm just going to pray to the Lord that he'll open the doors for a good job." And while I was in school, the pre-trip to get your CDL was over 100 items of the truck from top to bottom, inside and out. Bob can relate to that. And I just kept, every day I would go over that test, and I would pray the Lord to give me the knowledge and the wisdom to pass it. And I would study it and study it and study it. And when I didn't think I studied enough, I'd study it again. And I passed it when I went in for the test. I prayed about it, that the Lord would bring everything back to me. And I passed it with 100%, thank you, Jesus. And only missed two on my driving. But I got my CDL, and before I even graduated, I had my job with Veneer Chip Transport. I've been with them for over 13 years now. And also, I'm coming up on 16 years clean and sober, too. Free from everything. But when I was out, when I was living at my mom and dad's, this is how good God is. I had Freedom Recovery with Robin and Lauren before I left. I had Celebrate Recovery, same 12-step program at Coyote Ridge. And then when I got out, I need to find Celebrate Recovery in Tacoma while I'm at mom and dad's. And within walking distance, the church down the street had Celebrate Recovery. And then I got plugged into that church right away. And we had Celebrate Recovery, and then I also got to go down and give back and help with feeding the homeless underneath the overpasses downtown Tacoma. And so that was really a humbling experience. And I went to some different churches over there while I was there. And then once I got done with school and was working with Veneer Chip, moved back to Shelton. And my wife and it today, the forgiveness and the support that I've had from her and the kids, has just been awesome. And breaking that chain, my daughters were involved in it, my son was involved in it, and you have to break that chain so it doesn't keep flowing down from generation to generation. And with my walk with the Lord, and breaking that chain, my son's got over 2 years clean, and my daughters are both clean. I think Chelsea's coming up on 10 years herself, and it's just so awesome. And I got involved with the Crazy Love Ministries for a while till God pointed me in a different direction. So everything has a season, and so God has you in different seasons for so long, and then He may want you to go somewhere else. So you just have to be willing to change and go there. When I talk about the power of prayer, I put on the prayer chain the other night about a lady named Glinda. When a little bit more about her, I went in Tuesday night, I went to Fred Meyer to get some stuff for dinner. And I pulled up, and this lady, she was bent over just like this, and I thought she was throwing up, she was sick. And there's some ladies next door in a car to me, and I said, is this lady okay? And they go, well, she's been that way for a little while now. And the Lord was just saying, you need to go and talk to her and pray for her. And so I went up to her and asked her if everything was okay. And she goes, yeah. She says, I'm okay, but I've got stage 4 kidney failure. And it's going into stage 5. And so I'm going to end up being on a dialysis machine. And if I don't get a kidney, the Lord's probably going to take me home. And she's a believer. And so I said right then and there, I said, would you like some prayer? And so I pray. I, you don't know if you should actually lay your hand on them, but I put my hand over and I laid my hand on her shoulder and I prayed over her and just asked for the pain to be gone. And I remember all I said, but she thanked me for the prayer, and we continued to talk for just a little bit, and she stood straight up, and I said, you're standing straight up. She goes, oh, I know, thank you. I feel so much better now. Because she couldn't stand up because of the pain that she was in, because it hurt so bad. I just said, thank you, Jesus. And I got in my car and started heading home, and well, here they come again, the goosebumps. I mean, I was just like, wow, thank you, Jesus, the power right then and there, and it was a divine appointment that happened. Today, I asked the Lord that I'd get off on time to share tonight, because I usually sometimes it's 7:30 before I get home. It gets so late, and I was back in town parking the truck at 4:15 today. Amen. And I asked him that I would be able to get this load to Tacoma, thinking I'd get back at this time. And you know, when I asked for that prayer to get back at an earlier time, but the Lord had different plans. He ended up having me preload the load back to town, so I got home even earlier. So I just say, thank you, Jesus. I want to backtrack just a bit. When I was at Celebrate, when I was in Freedom Recovery, and this kept me going while I was in college and away from everybody. And it's Jeremiah 29:11-14. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me in earnest, you will find me when you seek me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. You know, I went in with nothing. I mean, not even the clothes on my back. And the Lord, this is what we had it in Freedom Recovery. I took this went with me everywhere. And God is so good. Lost everything. It's just material things, which is, it's fine, but God has been so good. I mean, the job that I have, I get to have my truck at home. 4 years ago, we got out of renting. That God blessed us with a house. We were able to buy a house and approve for the loan and everything. So now we own our own home and stuff. And we got more junk than what we need, but he's so gracious. And why I was at Coyote Ridge, another scripture that kept me, I wrote this out in big letters on a piece of paper, and I had the bottom bunk, so I attached it to the upper bunk, so when I lay back in my bed, it's Psalms 23, 1-3. The Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. And he did. I had all that I needed while I was there. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. And I would lay there and I would be at peace in a place like that. I was at peace because I had Jesus in me. And another time where the Lord would use me was we had 40 guys in that tier that I was in, and they were looked like college dorms inside because there was no separate rooms. It was an open dorm. There was four guys to a little cubicle. And I would go up and down the cubicle, and because some of the guys are just, they'd be really depressed because of what was going on at home or their girlfriend or whatever, you know, and couldn't do nothing about it and stuff, and just lost. And I would come up to them, and I'd say, Dave, I got a message from you. What? You got a message from me? I go, yeah, I got a message from Jesus. He just wanted me to tell you that he loves you. And their whole attitude would change. They go, thanks, Irv. And it just to see that change in them. And I would do that up and down. And they're like, how can you be so joyous in a place like this? And I says, well, get right with Jesus and you'll find out. It's the only way. And at work, I had a brother, a Christian brother, He didn't seem like he'd act like a Christian very much to me, because he got really mad one day because I supposedly took a load that he thought he should have, and just I can't believe it. He's supposed to be a Christian and he's acting like that. And I just said, Marvin, I said, I don't even want to talk to you. I just walked away and prayed for him. Well, then a little while later, he came up to me and he apologized. He says, I had no right to treat you like that. And we became really, really close friends from that point on. God used that and brought us together, and then we shared scripture back and forth together at work. He had the Bible on CDs, so he would listen when he got done with one, then he'd bring it to me, and so we shared them back and forth. And this shirt, his wife got me, said, "You need to give this to Irv." And it says, "I'm not the man I used to be, but ought to be, but thank God I'm not the man I used to be." And I thought that was really appropriate for tonight. And on the bottom of it, there's a little scripture on the bottom of it, and it's Philippians 1:6. "And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." He's not done with me yet. So God uses you in so many ways. You just have to be open-minded to be a willing vessel. At work, he constantly uses me at work to, I pray for other ones at work. I have one driver in particular, a female driver, that God had me work on her for 2 years, talking about the Lord to her and stuff, and she'd ask scripture, and if I didn't know, I would ask Robin, and he would give me the information, the scripture, so I could relate back to her and stuff. And then one day God said, "This is it right now. You need to pray with her and get her saved." And so we said the sinner's prayer, and like, whoa, this is how it feels. But and that fellow Scott that I was with in jail, that we went separate ways, and I kept praying for him that he would find salvation. Well, one day he showed up at Coyote Ridge. They had moved him there, and I go, "Oh, Scott!" And I said, "Well," I said, "have you made that choice yet?" Because I didn't want him to go without. You know, and he says, "No, I'm right on the borderline of accepting Jesus, but I'm really not quite sure." And I says, "Well, I don't know what else to tell you." I says, "But you better get saved." I said, "You'll be amazed." I says, "Look at me, what Jesus is doing in my life." And so I talked to one of the volunteer pastors that came in, and I said, "I've done everything." I said, "I don't think God wants me to have him come to you through me." I said, "I think it's somebody else." And he said, "Well, let me talk to him." And it just, God used me to prepare him to that point. And so he went and talked to the pastor. And I was walking around the middle of the buildings there. And Scott came out. And he came out and he goes, Irv, I'm saved." It was, oh, what an awesome feeling, you know. So I know at least two that I had, that God used me for sure, that have gotten saved, but the domino effect of all the work that God has used you don't know until the day that you meet with Jesus, and you get to see everyone and all see all the faces, the lives that you've touched, and of actually God's used you to lead them to Him, that you'll get to see the fruits when you get there. You know, it's just awesome. So I just wanted to thank everyone, and one more thing. I always want to say this. Pastor always says it. I'm learning. My uncle that molested me when I was younger, that hatred that I had, because Jesus forgave me, I was able to forgive him. And it wasn't until I was at my mom and dad's, and I got involved in this other program at a house, pastor and his wife, can't remember what they called it, but maybe it was Jesus Lives, but there, it was just men, and we went there, and we got to be intimate and tell them what's going on and stuff, and it was really awesome little program that sure. they
movement, maybe? Go ahead.
I'm not sure I can't remember what it was, but it was to get closer to Jesus. It was their own little ministry that they had at their home, just for guys. And what we did is we took a piece of paper and whoever we needed to really forgive, but that hurt us the worst, we got to write that on paper. So I got to say everything that I wanted to say to my uncle without having to face him and tell him just how I felt for what he did to me. And then we took it out, and it just we sealed an envelope, and we lit it up as a sacrifice to the Lord. And only the Lord and I know what I said there in it. So, and I finally got that whole weight off my shoulders. So, yes.